This is the reading for May 16th. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord because He is good. His love continues forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love continues forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love continues forever. Only He can do great miracles. His love continues forever. With His wisdom, He made the skies. His love continues forever. He spread out the earth on the seas. His love continues forever. He made the sun and the moon. His love continues forever. He made the sun to rule the day. His love continues forever. He made the moon and stars to rule the night. His love continues forever. He killed the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. His love continues forever. He brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. His love continues forever. He did it with His great power and strength. His love continues forever. He parted the water of the Red Sea. His love continues forever. He brought the Israelites through the middle of it. His love continues forever. But the king of Egypt and his army drowned in the Red Sea. His love continues forever. He led His people through the desert. His love continues forever. He defeated great kings. His love continues forever. He killed powerful kings. His love continues forever. He defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites. His love continues forever. He defeated Og, king of Bashan. His love continues forever. He gave their land as a gift. His love continues forever. It was a gift to His servants, the Israelites. His love continues forever. He remembered us when we were in trouble. His love continues forever. He freed us from our enemies. His love continues forever. He gives food to every living creature. His love continues forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love continues forever. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Now Saul was dead. After David had defeated the Amalekites, he returned to Ziklag and stayed there 2 days. On the third day, a young man from Saul's camp came to Ziklag. To show his sadness, his clothes were torn and he had dirt on his head. He came and bowed face down on the ground before David. David asked him, "Where did you come from?" The man answered, "I escaped from the Israelite camp." David asked him, "What happened? Please tell me." The man answered, "The people have run away from the battle, and many of them have fallen and are dead. Saul and his son Jonathan are dead also." David asked him, "How do you know Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" The young man answered, "I happened to be on Mount Gilboa. There I saw Saul leaning on his spear. The Philistine chariots and the men riding in them were coming closer to Saul. When he looked back and saw me, he called to me. I answered him, 'Here I am.' Then Saul asked me, 'Who are you?' I told him, 'I am an Amalekite.' Then Saul said to me, 'Please come here and kill me. I am badly hurt and am almost dead already.' So I went over and killed him. He had been hurt so badly I knew he couldn't live. Then I took the crown from his head and the bracelet from his arm, and I have brought them here to you, my master." Then David tore his clothes to show his sorrow, and all the men with him did also. They were very sad and cried and did not eat until evening. They cried for Saul and his son Jonathan and for all the people of the Lord and for all the Israelites who had died in the battle. David asked the young man who brought the report, "Where are you from?" The young man answered, "I am the son of a foreigner, an Amalekite." David asked him, "Why were you not afraid to kill the Lord's appointed king?" Then David called one of his men and told him, "Go, kill the Amalekite." So the Israelite killed him. David had said to the Amalekite, "You are responsible for your own death. You confessed by saying, 'I have killed the Lord's appointed king.'" David sang a funeral song about Saul and his son Jonathan, and he ordered that the people of Judah be taught this song. It is called the Bow, and it is written in the book of Jashar. "Israel, your leaders have been killed on the hills. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Don't tell it in Gath. Don't announce it in the streets of Ashkelon. If you do, the Philistine women will be happy. The daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. May there be no dew or rain on the mountains of Gilboa, and may their fields produce no grain. because there the mighty warrior's shield was dishonored. Saul's shield will no longer be rubbed with oil. Jonathan's bow did not fail to kill many soldiers. Saul's sword did not fail to wound many strong men. We loved Saul and Jonathan and enjoyed them while they lived. They are together even in death. They were faster than eagles. They were stronger than lions. You daughters of Israel, cry for Saul. Saul clothed you with red dresses and put gold decorations on them. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan is dead on Gilboa's hills. I cry for you, my brother Jonathan. I enjoyed your friendship so much. Your love to me was wonderful, better than the love of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war are gone. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Later, David prayed to the Lord, saying, "Should I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" The Lord said to David, "Go." David asked, "Where should I go?" The Lord answered, "To Hebron." So David went up to Hebron with his two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel. David also brought his men and their families, and they all made their homes in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron and appointed David king over Judah. They told David that the men of Jabesh-Gilead had buried Saul. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "The Lord bless you. You have shown loyalty to your master Saul by burying him. May the Lord now be loyal and true to you. I will also treat you well because you have done this. Now be strong and brave. Saul, your master, is dead, and the people of Judah have appointed me their king." Abner, son of Ner, was the commander of Saul's army. Abner took Saul's son, Ishbosheth, to Mahanaim and made him king of Gilead, Ashuri, Jezreel, Ephraim, Benjamin, and all Israel. Saul's son, Ishbosheth, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he ruled 2 years. But the people of Judah followed David. David was king in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. Abner, son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. Joab, son of Jeruiah, and David's men also went there and met Abner and Ishbosheth's men at the pool of Gibeon. Abner's group sat on one side of the pool, Joab's group sat on the other. Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men have a contest here." Joab said, "Yes, let them have a contest." Then the men got up and were counted, 12 from the people of Benjamin for Ishbosheth, son of Saul, and 12 from David's men. Each man grabbed the one opposite him by the head and stabbed him in the side with a knife. So the men fell down together. For that reason, that place in Gibeon is called the Field of Knives. That day there was a terrible battle, and David's men defeated Abner and the Israelites. Jeruiah's 3 sons, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel, were there. Now Asahel was a fast runner, as fast as a deer in the field. Asahel chased Abner, going straight toward him. Abner looked back and asked, "Is that you, Asahel?" Asahel said, "Yes, it is." Then Abner said to Asahel, "Turn to your right or left and catch one of the young men and take his armor." But Asahel refused to stop chasing him. Abner again said to Asahel, "Stop chasing me. If you don't stop, I'll have to kill you. Then I won't be able to face your brother Joab again." But Asahel refused to stop chasing Abner. So using the back end of his spear, Abner stabbed Asahel in the stomach, and the spear came out of his back. Asahel died right there, and everyone stopped when they came to the place where Asahel's body lay. But Joab and Abishai continued chasing Abner. As the sun was going down, they arrived at the hill of Ammah near Gaia on the way to the desert near Gibeon. The men of Benjamin came to Abner and all stood together at the top of the hill. Abner shouted to Joab, "Must the sword kill forever? Surely you must know this will only end in sadness. Tell the people to stop chasing their own brothers." Then Joab said, "As surely as God lives, if you had not said anything, the people would have chased their brothers until morning." Then Joab blew a trumpet, and his people stopped chasing the Israelites. They did not fight them anymore. Abner and his men marched all night through the Jordan Valley. They crossed the Jordan River and, after marching all day, arrived at Mahanaim. After he had stopped chasing Abner, Joab came back and gathered the people together. Asahel and 19 of David's men were missing. But David's men had killed 360 Benjamites who had followed Abner. David's men took Asahel and buried him in the tomb of his father at Bethlehem. Then Joab and his men marched all night. The sun came up as they reached Hebron.
Chapter 5.
Later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for a Jewish festival. Near Sheep Gate in Jerusalem was a pool called Bethesda in Hebrew. It had five porches. Under these porches, a large number of sick people, people who were blind, lame, or paralyzed, used to lie. One man, who had been sick for 38 years, was lying there. Jesus saw the man lying there and knew that he had been sick for a long time. So Jesus asked the man, "Would you like to get well?" The sick man answered Jesus, "Sir, I don't have anyone to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get there, someone else steps into the pool ahead of me." Jesus told the man, "Get up, pick up your cot, and walk." The man immediately became well, picked up his cot, and walked. That happened on a day of worship. So the Jews told the man who had been healed, "This is a day of worship. You're not allowed to carry your cot today." The man replied, "The man who made me well told me to pick up my cot and walk." The Jews asked him, "Who is the man who told you to pick it up and walk?" But the man who had been healed didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus had withdrawn from the crowd. Later, Jesus met the man in the temple courtyard and told him, "You're well now. Stop sinning so that something worse doesn't happen to you." The man went back to the Jews and told them that Jesus was the man who had made him well. The Jews began to persecute Jesus because he kept healing people on the day of worship. Jesus replied to them, "My Father is working right now, and so am I." His reply made the Jews more intent on killing him. Not only did he break the laws about the day of worship, but also he made himself equal to God when he said repeatedly that God was his Father. Jesus said to the Jews, "I can guarantee this truth. The Son cannot do anything on his own. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Indeed, the Son does exactly what the Father does. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. The Father will show him even greater things to do than these things so that you will be amazed. In the same way that the Father brings back the dead and gives them life, the Son gives life to anyone he chooses. The Father doesn't judge anyone. He has entrusted judgment entirely to the Son so that everyone will honor the Son as they honor the Father. Whoever doesn't honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. I can guarantee this truth. Those who listen to what I say and believe in the one who sent me will have eternal life. They won't be judged because they have already passed from death to life. I can guarantee this truth. A time is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who respond to it will live. The Father is the source of life, and he has enabled the Son to be the source of life too. He has also given the Son authority to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Don't be surprised at what I've just said. A time is coming when all the dead will hear his voice, and they will come out of their tombs. Those who have done good will come back to life and live. But those who have done evil will come back to life and will be judged. I can't do anything on my own. As I listen to the Father, I make my judgments. My judgments are right because I don't try to do what I want, but what the one who sent me wants. If I testify on my own behalf, what I say isn't true. Someone else testifies on my behalf, and I know that what he says about me is true. You sent people to John the Baptizer, and he testified to the truth. But I don't depend on human testimony. I'm telling you this to save you. John was a lamp that gave off brilliant light. For a time you enjoyed the pleasure of his light. But I have something that testifies more favorably on my behalf than John's testimony. The tasks that the Father gave me to carry out, these tasks which I perform, testify on my behalf. They prove that the Father has sent me. The Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. You have never heard his voice, and you have never seen his form. So you don't have the Father's message within you, because you don't believe in the person he has sent. You study the Scriptures in detail because you think you have the source of eternal life in them. These Scriptures testify on my behalf, yet you don't want to come to me to get eternal life. I don't accept praise from humans, but I know what kind of people you are. You don't have any love for God. I have come with the authority my Father has given me, but you don't accept me. If someone else comes with his own authority, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept each other's praise and don't look for the praise that comes from the only God? Don't think that I will accuse you in the presence of the Father. Moses, the one you trust, is already accusing you. If you really believe Moses, you would believe me. Moses wrote about me. If you don't believe what Moses wrote, how will you ever believe what I say?